We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. It's the Bart Winkler Show, June 9th, Friday. Headed into the weekend, everybody. I don't know what you got planned. I got a lot planned. I am going to do some run walk for my kids' school. I am going to be at Ford Madison. Big game for Ford Madison, North Carolina FC, on Saturday night. Get on out. Bree Stevens Field. Gotta be there. Sunday, I'll be back on CBS. Talk some NBA Finals, I'm sure. Game four is set to be Friday night. And as long as I don't shake and bake it too much in the evening, I plan to hop on and up. What's up? If it's good, I'll use it for the show. If it's not, it'll be in YouTube history. Not that YouTube's not the show. There's a lot of great, extensive content on YouTube that I will be adding to this Dan Shaney insurance stream. Dan Shaney, again, independent guy, danshaney.com, has already helped out a few of you. Even if you want to call him and just get a quote, he's a longtime listener, so you can chop it up with him and talk about who you like the best and who you hate the most and get all that done. But there are going to be some things that I'll be adding to my YouTube channel. I went through a lot of old stuff again, but now I found videos. And I don't just want to inundate people with, like, hey, here's a clip from me and Chuck 5 years ago. But I am going to be posting a bunch of clips of me and Chuck from 5 years ago. There's one where I try to tell him the moth joke, the famous Norm McDonald Conan O'Brien bit. There's one where we open old baseball cards together. So I don't know. I had these videos and they were on Facebook Live and they're my videos. So I'm going to put them on my YouTube. Why not? So that'll be trickling over the next couple of days when I get to that. So anybody awaiting that long Bart and Chuck reunion, I thought we were getting close. He's doing his Lockdown Brewers stuff. You know, it's not like I'm not in contact with people in other stations. I don't know. Chuck should have been on here by now. Really disheartening. Really disheartening. So everybody bug Chuck. Bug the shit out of Chuck this weekend to pressure him again. At least get him to comment on it. Because I like when he does that. No, it's got to be bigger than a podcast, Chuck says. And then now he goes ahead and does a daily podcast. Got some voicemails to play. Scott Grodzki, have a short conversation with him. Just about, you know, CBS 58, working in the biz. And really, he took a picture of Adrian Griffin, the Bucks' new head coach, looking clueless as fuck. So I want to talk to him about that, essentially, is what we talk about. And then I'm not, this isn't, you know, I just talked about finding old content. And again, I don't want to go all, you know, Doug Russell here and try to repackage everything I've ever done from 15 years ago. The Doug Russell podcast, by the way, get it wherever you get your podcast. But maybe from time to time, a flashback Friday, maybe from time to time. I did find the audio where Alan from the Northside called in, and I didn't follow up good enough. His dad may have murdered someone at a gas station. So we'll just end it with that. We'll set you into your weekend with some audio of possible attempted murder is what we'll do. A couple of things regarding the Bucks. I mentioned Adrian Griffin. Joe Prunty is back. Joe Pretty Boy Prunty. Now is when I got to get Jeff Orlowski on for that alone. I don't have those cuts. I had all of the cuts. I thought, I'll never need these cuts again. Joe Prunty, he's never coming back. Terry Stotts is back. I like this. Hot Take Jake is back, and that's the first Carl's Place voicemail we'll have. I'm not sure he was really into the Adrian Griffin press conference. The voicemails, you can leave them 402-915-BART, 402-915-BART. Carl of et.com/Bart for all your golf simulator needs. The difference between, I still have not gotten out to a range at all. I almost stopped on Thursday, but that's the difference between, you know, going out to a range and then buying a large bucket. And it's like, ah, fuck, I only wanted a small, but my eyes deceive me. To find a space that you may have in your home that you can turn into a golf simulator and you can really up the level of like hitting a ball against a sheet. I mean, the video technology they have, you can play different courses with the equipment they have. So if anything else, just go to carlofet.com/Bart and check it out. That's all. carlofet.com/Bart. All right, here's Hot Take Jake talking some Bucks.
Hey, Bart. It's me. I unfortunately was not able to get in just after the Adrian Griffin press conference. Well, I really, really hope it works out with Adrian Griffin and the Bucks. On the heels of that press conference, I saw a tweet that said it's expected that Chris Middleton will sign a long-term contract with the Bucks. So I'm kind of looking at today as the day the window officially closed. I'm sorry to say it. I really want it to work out. But
That's brutal. Continued voicemail from 4 days ago.
What I want and what I truly feel and what I truly believe are two different things. I said it, whoever gives Chris Middleton a long-term extension will soon regret it thereafter. And unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be the Bucks. They needed to get younger. They need to get more athletic. It doesn't appear that they're going to do anything significant, maybe some peripheral moves, which I guess if you want to say that's the right call because they were the best regular season team, as we all know. And as mentioned by Bart several times, regular season and postseason are two different animals. I think they're too nice for their own goods, which brings me to Adrian Griffin. Yeah, watching that press conference, not exactly someone I would call dynamic. Seems like a nice guy, but my instinct tells me I think they just hired another Frank Krestoviak. So maybe I'm wrong. I'm usually not. I'm not ever wrong. So that was kind of silly for me to say.
You are wrong. It's Larry Krestoviak.
But anyways, last thing I want to leave you with, I looked up this foul ball guy because I hadn't heard of him until I heard Cone Roller bring him up. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised that Cone Roller likes this guy because Cone Roller kind of has a tendency to like the worst kind of people. So, no, this guy's a dork. He's a loser. If you catch a home run or a fly ball, good for you. Give it to a kid. I saw something that said he has, like, you know, 1,100 foul balls or something like that. Like, yeah, dude, you're just a dork. Touch grass. Get a girlfriend. Get laid. Do something because you need to reevaluate your life. So, yeah, that's all I've got for you, Barty. I love you. Won't be making as many appearances for the time being, so hopefully catch up soon.
Okay, that was a voicemail. Jake left Tuesday, and then he was a part of our Wednesday night show. Just come when you please, guys. Come when you please. You know, and Brett in Tosa is like, I'm not coming back till October. You know, come and go when you please. You don't need to announce every single entrance and departure from the Bart Winkler show. We're good. Come and go as you please. We'll be good.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Chris Middleton news since that voicemail, and maybe I end up getting another one before I'm done recording here, but now there's news that he had surgery after the playoffs. Oh boy. He had surgery on his right knee after the playoffs. It is, according to Eric Nahman, The Athletic, a minor arthroscopic procedure. He should be back on the court in July, per sources. The cleanup was planned, and then they went ahead and took care of it afterwards. Middleton, in 33 games, averaged about 15-4-5. But as I saw one tweet mention, if he was doing 24-6-6 in the playoffs against the Heat on a cooked knee, I think there's some optimism here. I've kind of been going back and forth on what I think the next 5 years of Chris Middleton's career are going to look like. This is coming back to a situation with the way the NBA salary cap works, is that the Bucks are better off signing him than they are letting him go. It's another situation where you can't really, if you have more money to spend on Chris, the money that you can spend on Chris, you can't necessarily spend elsewhere. And that was the situation with that last Supermax. You know, Scott Walker's Bucks slogan was, it's cheaper to keep them. Which I mean, that was good marketing, because for people that hated the Bucks, what he was telling people was, even if you don't think we deserve a team, it actually is going to be cheaper for the state and help us better if we just keep them. I mean, losing them would not, we're not going to make up what the Bucks are going to give us. And that's kind of like, it's cheaper to keep Chris Middleton, or it's kind of like the same philosophy, maybe not necessarily cheaper because you do have to pay him, but you're going to have to. Now, he's only 31. I think a lot of times when we have this discussion, my brain thinks he's 34 or 35 already. I understand that, you know, he might play more like a 34 or 35 year old just because he's been hurt a lot. And so there's been a lot of wear and tear on that body. But I mean, if I could tell you right now, what Middleton this year did was he played 33 games in the regular season. That's it. If he could give me that every year and then 24-6-6 in the playoffs at 35 minutes a game in the playoffs, I would pay the $30 million for, I mean, what's he going to cost? What are they going to work for him? 4-120, I think, would be, holy shit, because that's only 30 a year. You know, like Chris is making more than that. It's not often that you go backwards, but let's say, I think I saw Nathan Marzion throw that out of the Green and Growing podcast, Odyssey, Steve. If you could go 4-120, I mean, I would, because the regular season situation. I don't need Chris playing the regular season. I don't need mileage being put on Chris Middleton in the regular season. And I don't think that inserting a guy like Chris Middleton is going to be too much like, oh, the Bucks are playing good until another shooter came in, another guy that knew how to shoot the ball well came in. No, I mean, ball and let him cook, man. So if you were telling me that I could pay him $30 million a year and put him in bubble wrap and play him a third of the regular season and then get 25-6-6 from him in the playoffs, that is a no-brainer to me. Yes, I'll do that. I would do it. If you're telling me you want to play him 80 games in the regular season, I mean, I don't know. I think to lengthen this guy's career, like, again, the regular season, what does it fucking matter if Chris is playing 70 games? He's streaky as it is anyway. Chris is not a guy who's going to contend for these all-NBA, first-team, MVP stuff where you have to play 65 games. If you bring Chris back, you heavily load-managed that guy, and you extend his career. Fuck, I'd almost have it do like what Roger Clemens did when he went down to Houston. He only pitched in home games. Reggie White with the Panthers only played in home games. Just don't have Middleton travel. Air travel's not good on the knee. I'm not being facetious. I think this is not, these are words that I did not have planned to come out of my mouth. This is all on the fly. I don't prepare for this. This is just happening. And I really think it's a good idea. I'm smiling right now. I'm very proud of my idea. Bubble wrap this guy. And in my head, when I put out ideas, I'm trying to think what would the, you know, opposite reaction be. But I don't see a downside to it. The regular season, shit. Who cares? Oh, you're not going to pay him just to play 30 games in the regular season. Why not? It's the regular season. It don't matter. Plus, it's more time for these other guys to play. And see what we have in them. What's his name? Who's the guy? Get Hugo Bisson over here. Have him play Chris's minutes. One thing that I would do if my knees hurt, and what I've been doing because my feet have hurt, I either have had the gout go to my feet. Remember when I thought I had gout? I either do, or I broke a bone and I'm walking on a broken heel because I'm in pain. That's why I've been taking some of the CBD gummies. Helps me out. That's where I should get the body cream. I didn't pick up any of that last time I was in there. That was a huge L by me. But I did get the THC free ones for the morning that I take. I got the Delta 8s and the Delta 9s, which, of course, are for any time after noon with the lifestyle that I live. And the nighttime ones, the CBD and CBN ones. Now, the great thing is I've thrown a couple different options at you. You can try them with the promo code BART for 25% off. And then when you realize which ones you like, you can then go ahead and order more. Promo code BART again, 25% off. Every time you do it, happyplacehemp.com. As I mentioned, promo code BART. I think that's all we have on the Bucks. A few more voicemails here. This one's from Spark guy. He wants to correct me. All right. That's what we're here for.
Bart, Spark guy here. These things, listening to you, Grant, and Paul. I do want to start pointing out a lot of times you will incorrectly use words. I just want to correct you on something. You said you're listening to the Dave Ramsey sax. The saxophone solo, and you were entrenched in it. I think you meant entranced. I know that you may get away with entrenched, but you meant entranced. Two, foul balls. I mean, that's a dicey one. Like, I get your point of view from the previous episode where you're talking to Tim about it, but, like, you got to give it to the kid. It's about the experience. I think there's one condition or one condition only. If your kid is between the ages of, like, 4, 5, and 7, 8, and they've never even seen a major league ball, then yeah, you gotta hold on to it. You can give it to them. But other than that, like, if they've even seen one, I mean, I got an 8-year-old. Like, if I get a ball and I'm in a game and he's not with me, kid next to me gets it. It's the experience of getting that ball in your hands after it being there. So I don't think it's an overstep. You got to give the ball to the kid. And then finally, a bit disappointed even as a non-Packer fan, how can we make the argument that Mount Rushmore is all of the suits? You wonder why everyone's anti-player, and then we say that, yes, Bob Harlan, great. It's Brett Favre. It's Reggie White. That's what made that. Those guys don't do what they do and become who they are. Bob Harlan do whatever he wants. Same thing with Murphy. I am getting very frustrated with this Murphy turnaround or shining his reputation as he leaves town. He's been such an underachiever. His Favre handling was the worst ever. Like, he's just a clown. Like, I just, it's the players. You have to keep your eye on the prize. It's always the players. It always will be the players. And it comes down to the players. Forget the suits. I know Horvat would agree. Take care.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with a couple of different things. When did Murphy start with the Packers? Right after the Favre drama? No, 2007. Okay, so he was here for that. So you're going to tell me Mark Murphy won a Super Bowl, navigated going from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another one, then navigated whatever, like if Jordan Love turns out to be even remotely good, that's another feather in Murphy's cap. That's huge. He got the draft here. He probably, and this is the Packer way. I mean, if there's a Heat culture, there's a Packer culture, which is hang on to guys way too long. I understand that, which is kind of weird that Murphy apparently has to vacate his position by the time he's 70, since everybody else, you know, you can be here until, well, I didn't want to say you die, but Mark Murphy's kind of got to like, he's got to be out. He's got to go. And I do. I mean, the Titletown district, no, Sparka, you and I will have to talk about that one face to face, mano a mano, go one on one, as they say. Coming up on the Bill Michaels Show, Bill goes one on one with AJ Dillon. Goes one on one. That was a big Radio Joe thing. He likes saying goes one on one. He must have been taught that by somebody. Goes one on one. One on one. It's two people talking. Why do we got to remarket? Why do we got to remarket a conversation? Coming up, Bart has a conversation with, I don't know, Jacob Barnes. Tonight on the On Deck Show, I go one-on-one with Jacob Barnes. No, I sheepishly put a microphone in his face. One-on-one. Bart goes, coming up, I go one-on-one with Scott Grodzki. One-on-one. I spent some of my time on Thursday out at the Steffens soccer sale. That was fun. Big sale. I should have bought some stuff. But I was there for work on behalf of Milwaukee Pro Soccer. And because I was getting paid to be there, I then didn't want to spend money while I was there. But then afterwards, I went to Target and Otto's and spent money. But I didn't want to spend money where I was making money. But I might go back to Steffens to buy some stuff, although now I'm not making money. I always yell at people for the weird way they compartmentalize money, but I think I fell into that trap. So one of the names that I like, and I talked to some people at Steffens, Tall Boys, Milwaukee, what did the one guy like? 1846 Milwaukee. There's a lot of moving around that. I talked to the guy who submitted the Milwaukee Brigade name. Here's Matt in the Falls wondering what I'm talking about.
Hi, Bart. It's me. I don't understand the Goodland or Goodland thing for a team name whatsoever. Like, what is it? What does it mean? Like, I get that it sounds nice, and some people call this the Goodland, or that's what Milwaukee means. Or I don't know, but it's not the name of a team. It's not a thing. It's nothing. It's an idea. It's like, I feel like I'm on a Seinfeld episode, because you can't name a team Goodland. It's
Well, there's a Goodland tattoo, and I've been pronouncing it Goodland. I feel like there's some European, like Goodland would be like Goodland, but then the fans pronounce it Goodland. I'll just stop saying Goodland. I think I'm throwing people off at Goodland. I want the team name to be Goodland FC or Goodland Milwaukee FC. And that's like a derivative of Forward Madison. So maybe I've got that in my head because I've been doing stuff for Forward Madison. Forward Madison, you would say, is not a team name either. But that I think it works. Forward being the motto of Wisconsin. Forward Madison. And then they have the Flamingos, which is their, you know, mascot. And then they have the Flock, which is their crowd section. I think that all works. I think Forward Madison is a good name. It doesn't have to be the Milwaukee Milwaukeeans. It can be like Bayern Munich, I guess, is what I'm thinking of. You know, Goodland. I don't even know what Bayern Munich means, but they're my favorite German team because I went to Munich once, humble brag. But then they've won like 13 in a row. Hey, how about my Hammers? They won some made-up trophy. Bayern München. Bayern, meaning, I still don't know. Trying to look it up. Anyway, Bayern. What did the fuck's Bayern mean? Still don't know. But they call them the Bavarians, or they call them the Reds, or they call them, you know, other stuff, but that's not their official name. I like Goodland, Milwaukee. I think that's a great name. I'm very proud of it. And I would root for you to come up with a better name. Okay? Come up with a better name. By the way, Matt in the Falls, next time you're on, we need to talk about what's going on in the Falls where they want to cancel libraries because people have money to buy books. I got to talk about that. See where you stand on that important issue since, you know, we talk politics sometimes on the show. I got another soccer voicemail regarding Messi. Massive, massive situation here. This is Brian.
Hey, Bart. Brian from Brookfield. I just want to say, like, I think that you think that a lot of your listeners don't like the soccer talk, but I think there is a lot more people than you think. I'm enjoying the Messi talk. I'm glad Messi's in the MLS. I wanted to hear all the contract obligations. Maybe I should keep listening, but that guy kind of cut you off and started talking about Willie Adamas and Brewers. But yeah, I love soccer. I love international soccer, EPL, Bundesliga, La Liga, all of it. I would like more of that. Peace.
Well, I want to talk more about this Messi thing just to clear up. Like, the one thing that's pissing me off, and I get it, whatever, but people are like, Messi to MLS, give me NFL comparison. Messi to MLS, what does mean in NBA term? How can you not figure out what it means in what it means terms? Messi is the greatest, most beloved player right now. He's coming off winning a World Cup. People go cocoa bananas for this man. He's coming to a league that's like 15th best in the world at tops. That's what it, I mean, you don't, God, why does minor shit piss me off? What does this mean in terms of major league sports that I'm familiar with? Yeah, it means a great player is going to a shitty league. I mean, what do you want? What do you want? Messi's going to come to the United States. It's going to be a big deal. People are going to be very passionate about getting to these games. Now, the MLS, let me talk MLS for 5 minutes. God, I need, you know what? I need to just do a whole MLS stream of consciousness podcast is what I need to do just to get everything out there. Cause I always like talk about it for a few seconds and then, when the MLS was formed right away, they did start to get guys that were retiring. Lothar Matthäus was a famous one. He was a big German star, came to New York, played like four games. and it was a joke. You pay these guys a bunch of money, they come here and don't do shit. Now, there have been some really good examples recently where guys, they don't necessarily come here to retire, but they play like their last good contract here. Although Gareth Bale, you know, he came over retired. New York City FC had a guy, David Silva, had a good run when he was in the United States, I thought. When Ibrahimovic came to the Galaxy, he just embarrassed the whole league. He embarrassed everybody for how good he was and how much he just dominated everything that was going on here. He had 52 goals in 56 games. He was a monster. Wayne Rooney, I thought, did some decent stuff here. So I think that these guys that are coming over and they want to play in the States and they want to retire, it's not like they're coming here, you know, and can barely move. Thierry Henry with the Red Bulls, you know, had a nice run. Played in good enough form that got him back to Arsenal for a few games. So it's not a retirement league, you know. It might be your last contract league, and then I guess to be clear on that, it's like, okay, Messi's 35. This will probably be his last deal. But it's not – I'm saying that's good. They're coming here when they still have something left in the tank. They're not coming here at 40 years old to get a paycheck and then suck. So there is still contributions that these guys give you. And I think the MLS has done a better job of – I mean, the MLS has attracted some big, big names. And they've had some big, big impacts. I think the most of the league is made up of guys from this part of the world, North America, South America, that when they're 22, 23, they get discovered overseas. And if they're not good enough or if the level of play of what could take them somewhere else, they decide to stay here. I think it's a good developmental league. If you're looking at it in world terms, the league wants to be better. I still think you have to go to some sort of promotion relegation before things really get serious with a large section of fans. I don't think it's fair that a team like the San Diego Loyal can exist in the USL, which we're going to get that Milwaukee team, and then they can just have a guy buy an MLS team there. If there's going to be an MLS team that would ever be in Milwaukee, it should be this club. You can't have this club and then an MLS owner say, I want to, you know, that would be awful. But that is what happened in San Diego. Portland and Seattle, they have a rich history. They didn't get called up. They didn't get relegated. They just were like, all right, we already have a team there with structure. Pay us a bunch of money. You can be in the MLS. I don't like that whole set of it. I also don't like how it's like Inter Miami and Real Salt Lake and DC United. And it's just a bunch of teams ripping off names. The naming structure is completely weird. There are, I think, Atlanta, Minnesota. There's a bunch of Uniteds. It's weird. There's a lot weird with the MLS. Maybe I'll do a podcast where I lay out everything that changes. And another thing that people don't like about the MLS is how they're getting Messi. Messi is essentially coming here. What the MLS should do is abandon all salary cap and be a free-for-all, because that's what the rest of the world is in soccer. And I know that that's like, oh, no, but that's what baseball is. But that's what it should be. Because what it is it's overly protective of that. Or even if they went to some sort of different salary cap, but still allowed these teams to spend $300 million to make their roster. These rosters for some of these teams are just awful. Like, they barely make any money. And there's so many different ways that you can be. Let's see, Miami's got a bunch of guys. Their average salary is probably $375 million. Wow, that'd be good. No, that's Saudi money. Their average is like $375,000. And then they've got different like contract structures, like the GAM is a structure, the TAM is a structure. It's just like, oh God, I don't even like bringing this up because it's so complicated. And then teams can like trade that. There's general allocation money that you can spend. There's a salary cap. You can trade for guys if they're over a certain age and have been in the league for 8 years. Then there's designated players, three guys that you can designate to pay more than the average sum. It's all over the place. It's as hard as possible to understand. And it's hard to even try to spit it out and say it. So that's what bothers me. But Messi, to get Messi over here, because I mean, a lot of big clubs still want Messi at 35. Saudis want to give him $400 million a year. Messi is going to get a cut of Apple TV's package for people that subscribe and a cut of the sales from Adidas. And so essentially they're taking away money that could go to these other leagues to give it to Messi. But Messi will drive subscriptions. Imagine if in the MLB you didn't have Bally Sports. Imagine if you didn't have Bally Sports. You won't have to imagine that soon. But imagine if you didn't. Let's say you wanted to watch the Brewers. I want to watch the Brewers. I turn on Bally Sports. Well, you can't do that because that there are no regional networks for the MLS anymore. You have to order the MLS package on Apple to get your favorite team. And it's $15 a month. Bally Sport, you can watch the Brewers for $19 a month, I believe. But you just get the Brewers and the Bucks. If you order it from MLS, you get all the games. Everyone. So if you're a fan of the Chicago Fire and you want to watch the Fire, you pay $15 a month for Apple's product. And then, but you get all the games. It's not just exclusive to America. So there's going to be a lot of people worldwide that want to watch Messi. They're going to get a lot of international dollars coming over here. This is going to bring in a lot of money to the MLS. Will it increase ratings? I don't know. Like United States ratings, I don't know. I think this is going to end up getting more international subs than it does national subs. Guys, Messi is a god to a lot of people. Bigger than anything here. Whatever we think of LeBron or Jokic or Giannis or Brady or Mahomes, Messi like swallows all those up, spits them out. Steps on the spit and creates a new life. I'm like, he's big. He is huge. He got Inter Miami 5 million Instagram subscriptions in one day. It's just Instagram free click, but a lot of these people don't, they die for this man. They love, I mean, Messi is the guy. I don't even think we can comprehend what he is to a lot of people. So to get him is a massive, massive deal. But I hope it helps infuse money into the league and makes the league better. And I want the league to succeed. I want soccer in this country to succeed. And the way it's going to do that is with a viable MLS. But I wish MLS would work in tangent with the USL leagues, which are very good. And the MPSL leagues, which are great grassroots leagues, you know? I wish it would do better with that, but it just, I don't know. I think Don Garber, he's the commissioner. I would just love to be the MLS commissioner, man. I really would. So that's kind of like what's happening with Messi. It's weird. I think detractors of this say that MLS is not a serious competition because, like, who cares who wins? All they're trying to do is get expansion fees and get TV subscriptions. Like the MLS's goal is not to crown a champion every year. It's to get $500 million from the next sucker that wants to expand into the league. And it's to boost the Apple TV Plus subscriptions. They don't care. Like other teams are sort of backdoor paying to have Messi here. And that's weird for a lot of people. And it is weird, but I think the MLS is getting rewarded for bad behavior. The means are justified by the end. Because Messi coming to MLS is a fucking massive deal. And whatever it took to get there, I think the MLS should be proud of that. Conference opponents have been named for the Big Ten for next year and the year after, with USC and UCLA coming into the fold. In 2024, the Badgers will host Indiana, Minnesota, Penn State, Purdue. They will play at Iowa, at Maryland, at Nebraska, at Michigan, at USC. The following year, the Badgers will host Illinois, Iowa, Michigan State, Ohio State, USC. They will travel to Minnesota, Northwestern, Rutgers, and UCLA. The Badgers every year will play Iowa and Minnesota no matter what. Those were some of the rivalry games kept in. The rest is going to be basically alternating. So the Badgers will play USC on the road next year and then UCLA on the road the year after that. But USC will come here. USC, Ohio State. See, this is why if the Badgers are going to do anything, they got to do it this year when the schedule is cake. And I know things will expand later, but the schedule is going to be a lot harder. So I think this is the year. I know it's Fickell's first year. And he's not recruiting the big boys from Wisconsin the way that Paulie Chris did. But I think this is a massive, massive year for the Wisconsin Badgers. The Milwaukee Brewers had a good thing going against the Baltimore Orioles. They won on Tuesday, then won on Wednesday. And a lot of write-ups about how it was the, you know, best win of the season. And then they were dominating the Orioles with the three first inning runs on Thursday. And then the Orioles scored a shitload of runs at the end of the game. Brewers next will have the Oakland Athletics. So we're all going to assume that's three easy wins because the A's are terrible. Did John Singleton just start looking like Eric Thames, or was that always a thing? I mean, it looks like Eric Thames got recast. All right, Scott Grodzki is going to join us. CBS 58, sports reporter. And then we will wrap up with some Flashback Friday. He's at CBS 58, so the requirement is when we talk to anyone from that wonderful station, they must be in their car, as Tim Shea always is. Do you ever see Tim or no?
I saw him today because we were in early for a story at Aaron Hills, but not often.
What does he look like while he's working? Does he look like he's belongs or out of place? Or
he dresses professional, and it's a little weird. Not gonna lie to you. When we got the initial email that Tim was hired, and there was like a professional headshot of him in, I'm like, all right. so that's yeah. Tim.
Yeah, that's Tim. So good to see that he's gainfully employed. How long have you been at 58?
Time is a flat circle. 7 years, 8 years. I want to say this will be my eighth Packer season.
Oh, wow. How recognizable are you? Do you get noticed in public?
No, I'm not you. That's Bart Winkler life goals, but I'm not quite there yet.
When I did TV, I was on TV every day for 3 years. No one recognized me ever. No one knew who I was because I wasn't the anchor, you know. You at least anchor the sports from time to time. But the last day that I left lacrosse, I was in just a T-shirt, and I was at Menards renting a truck, and I didn't give him my info yet. And she goes, "Oh, I know you. You're Bart Winkler from WKBT." I was like, "Now I get recognized? Jesus."
Yeah, I occasionally hear, but not a ton. When I was My last job before this was in Rockford, and I was the sports director of the number one station there. I got a lot more there.
What are your career goals? Do you want to work in the big city, or are you just kind of waiting for Kevin Holden to die?
Is Milwaukee not the big city?
I don't know.
My wife is from that one area. I'm good in Milwaukee, and I'd prefer for Kevin to keep living. That'd be great. honestly, Kevin's job's a little bit too much behind a desk for me anyway. If I could keep doing my job but get, you know, we'll be conservative and say four times more money, then I'd be good. That'd be wonderful.
You were at the Bucks press conference for Adrian Griffin. The Bucks like to do things as different as possible. So instead of just having it, I think when they introduced Coach Bud, it was in the the fight surf wasn't even done yet, and so it was in that structure. And then they do Adrian Griffin at some restaurant on a table, but it seemed to go pretty well. I mean, what were your reactions to Coach?
Yeah, I think you hear all the time about winning the press conference, losing the press conference, and really there aren't many coaches that lose the first press conference. I was trying to spend some time thinking about any ones I remember that were just egregiously bad. Adam Gase and the Jets came to mind, and I know a lot of people were not thrilled with Matt LaFleur's first press conference. But otherwise, people usually come off pretty well. He knew what he was going to be asked. He was ready for the questions he was asked. And I think that he talked a whole lot about creativity and adjustments. And I think that's pretty much what Bucks fans were waiting to hear, given how some of this stuff went in the playoffs the past few years.
He said the word adjustments, and that basically, that's all that Bucks fans need.
Yeah, everyone was in. Everyone was all in at that point. I talked to him a little bit more after the press conference about that, because I know that's a huge thing that a lot of Bucks fans want to know about, and something I wanted to hear about. If not just, you know, you can say you want to do adjustments, but what is the plan for when do those types of things get considered? And he's not going to go into specifics of when they'll adjust against Steph Curry or whatever before any games are played, obviously. But what he talked about was that he sort of learned that the game plan is not something you necessarily need to stick with right away or all throughout a game. He learned that through Nick Nurse. He learned that through the box and one that Nick Nurse ran against Steph Curry in the finals. He told me that they had never run that in the game at all until the finals, and they still put it out because they needed to try something else. And to me, it was important to know when do you cross the line between giving up on a game plan and switching to something else or not. And he said that there's essentially two things that it'll come down to. It's, are we actually executing the game plan? And is there enough effort? And if both of those things are happening and it's not working, then you make your adjustments. And I think that, you know, there were definitely some times, for better or worse, over the past couple of years where the game plan was stuck to, whatever it was. And maybe at times it should have been changed. I don't know. It always seems weird to dunk on someone on their way out. Budenholzer also won a championship here. It's not like he's going to be anywhere near as bad a coach as the Bart Winkler-led Fire Bud group may think he was at times. I think this is a group that will be more receptive to change in that way.
I saw Mike Clemens at the presser was sitting by Myers Leonard, like,
yeah,
in the next seat. Did you sit by anyone, or did you have your camera?
I was with the camera. I was next to them for a minute, and there was a brief minute where I'm panning over and I'm going Joe Ingles, Javon Carter, Myers Leonard. Hey, Mike, what's up? How you doing?
Mike's sitting. It's the Bucks. They just don't. I don't know. They, like, it feels like with the Bucks, they know a press conference is coming, and they're like, well, where should we do it? I don't know. They have a designated space to do this stuff, and then. I just don't know that you should have Mike Clemens sitting next to Myers Leonard.
Yeah, they like sort of had a couple of seats in the front that were like kind of cordoned off, but not really. And then it was just kind of there. And Grayson Allen was there as well, but I think he was there for the start of the press conference, but he was there after the other players. So he ended up just standing in the back. I don't know how many people noticed him until it was over.
Well, which is interesting with Leonard's being a free agent and Clemens usually covering the Packers. It's like, both times that they showed up, the reaction was, what are you doing here? What is your so you took the picture of Adrian Griffin that I memed and that everybody memed right away, because he looks like that, you know, that kid.
It's a deer in the headlights look.
Why did you post it? It's an awful picture of him.
He was looking at me.
So you went to take a picture and he just looked at you?
I took like two pictures. I might have taken three. One, he was looking at me. Two, he wasn't. I posted it. I moved out, and then I found out that he looked like a deer in the headlights, and it's over.
Now, that picture is going to be used forever.
Yeah, I know. The internet's forever. Once someone said something, it's not like I'm going to delete it and it's going to go away. Like, it's up. It's done.
But don't you feel – so here's what I'm asking. There's a picture out there that's used a lot. It was used a lot when Jason Kidd would fuck up. And John Horst would look like stare him down. They were on. I took that picture. So this picture got memed. And it's like, I don't know. I didn't do anything but take the picture, but I just want the. I don't need credit. I don't need credit every time, but I want everyone to know where the food was made. You don't have that same.
Yeah, so you don't need credit. Problem. You just want the credit. Yeah, I get it.
You're not the same way?
No, I don't care.
You got to put your name on shit, Scott.
We can't all be as selfish as you.
When you're ever on WMLW doing the sports, do you know nobody's watching?
No. I know that we are generating more views through every show, and very excited for that.
What's your favorite thing to cover?
Probably when I'm shooting the NFL games, because most of my stuff is on air at this point, but I also came up shooting all my own stuff. And to me, there's nothing really better than being on the sideline for an NFL game and actively shooting it. I was on the sideline for the Cowboys playoff game with the Jared Cook catch. The last conference championship game didn't really go so well, but it's just so much faster and bigger when it's down there, and it's a very unique experience. One of the games against the Texans, I think it was like 6 years ago, it was a nothing game, but I was shooting it and it was snowing at Lambeau, and I'm like, all right, this is kind of why you do it, because you know as well as I do whether it's, you know, your wonderful, just intrepid news reporting in lacrosse, or any of the radio stuff since, like there are a lot of sacrifices that go into doing this job. There are a lot of things that are not ideal in terms of schedule, at times pay. There's a lot of stuff that comes with this profession. And then there's stuff like that is the reminder of how cool this job is and why I am so lucky to be doing it.
Yeah. You kind of do, like, I didn't get paid anything at the radio, but I got to be able to be in the locker room with the Brewers and stuff. You do kind of get paid in experiences a little bit, even though like that won't keep the lights on and your wife questions your existence every day, but there is an allure though.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, the stuff that comes with the job is like 30 on the list of things my wife questions about me every day. So it's no big deal.
I remember that game with the Texans vividly, 'cause I watched it with my grandpa.
Okay.
And then he died the next day.
Okay.
That's the fact. That's just the fact.
I don't know what to do with that. I'm very sorry.
I know. That's nice. Well, I haven't talked about this enough. I'll save it for another day. It's not your story to bear, but my grandpa got fucked. The health system fucked him. Like, he shouldn't have died.
What happened?
He had like a staph infection or something, and then they immediately stuck him with the people that are like, they thought he had something that was treatable, and they thought he was dying. And so the care got real shitty real quick.
I'm sorry.
He'd probably be dead by now anyway, but
Jesus Christ, Mark.
Would have liked to watch a few more games with him. You know?
Yeah. Well, you'll always have the Texans game.
What's your least favorite thing to cover?
I got nothing. I don't know that there's anything here that I really don't like covering. I mean, when I was in North Dakota, when I was in Rockford before, were there times where, you know, doing some of the Legion baseball kind of stuff could get a little like, all right, I'm ready to be done. Sure. There's not really much of that here. I mean, it's like, I wasn't joking for like, is Milwaukee not a big city? I realize that it's not Chicago, but I've lived in North Dakota. I've covered the preliminary races at a track that no one's heard of for 400 people. So, you know, I'll gladly take any random Marquette game, Admirals game, Brewers game, any of that kind of stuff. Like, we are very lucky, the sports scene that is in Milwaukee and Wisconsin as a whole. And we've also been very lucky during the time I've been here that, with a couple of exceptions, we've had very good teams pretty much across the board. There haven't been as many championships as maybe there could have been or should have been. But I'll take I'll take like four or five of the Packers seasons we've had over the one where I was watching Brett Hundley any day.
Mine was either in lacrosse. There was a ski jump event every year, which was a cool event. And it was fun when I would shoot on the bottom, but I also had to get shots from the top. And the only way up was to walk up nine flights of stairs.
Okay.
The other one was, and I don't know how much it's done around here, but high school football, we covered every training camp in lacrosse like it was the Packers. And yeah. So we're interviewing the secondary coach for La Crescent about how he thinks his guys will be in the 7-on-7 league. And it's like, what are we doing here? Just because Bob's Chicken Shop is a big sponsor of our 9 o'clock over the bridge in La Crescent.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that was it was similar type stuff. When I was in Rockford during the build up to high school football, we would do two-a-days and we would do features on two teams every day for what, 3 weeks. And it's not that I didn't like covering high school football. I like covering high school football. I wish there was more coverage of high school football here. When it is back-to-back-to-back days of high school football, and there's only so many different times you can hear someone say that, you know, our senior class, it's really special. The seniors, they're just like brothers. You hear the same stuff over and over again, then it gets very monotonous and very ready to be done with it. So that kind of stuff I don't necessarily miss.
Yeah. Nobody understands what it's like in this locker room.
Yeah, no. The brotherhood that us Falcons have, it's far better.
Yeah, cut to 5 years later when you as the wide receiver see the guy that played offensive line in the grocery store in your hometown and you like, Kevin, Dale.
Yeah. So thankfully, I don't have that problem because I was never remotely athletic enough to play anything. So, you know, I'm gonna have to deal with it.
Scott Grodzki, we're two. I feel like we're cut from maybe not the same cloth, but similar material. Got a little awkward there. That's all right. Going to be awkward at Father's Day if he looks on that doorstep and doesn't see Omaha Steaks there, especially if he's a listener of the show. He's going to be like, son, I've been listening to Bart, and I thought that, I mean, that deal, do you not love me for $99? You don't love me? All you had to do was go to omahasteaks.com and type Bart in the search bar and get the $99 deal. I didn't get my dad Omaha Steaks. My brother did with the code. So I'm going to give him something different. But wouldn't that be the real surprise? Because that's what he's expecting, just one of the kids to get Omaha Steaks. What if all four of us got him Omaha Steaks? That'd be a lot of steaks for not a lot of money. And it'd be four great uses of that promo code BART, omahasteaks.com. Father's Day sale, get it to the doorstep. You send your mom flowers, you send your dad meat. What's better than that? OmahaSteaks.com promo code is BART. Let's go into the weekend with a little flashback. You'll hear Ryan Horvath here. I don't know. I have the audio. Why not? Alan on the north side calls in. I'm not really sure why he called in, but we talked to him for 9 minutes. And I feel like I got rid of him too soon. Another error on my part. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Alan's on the north side. Alan's a legendary caller. I never know how to describe Alan, though, to those of you that have never heard one of his calls.
He's like a fine wine. His calls get better with age.
Yeah, Alan's got a hot wife, and he never wore a mask, right?
That's a hell of a bio.
I mean, wouldn't that describe you, if I could describe you in two sentences?
Pretty much. I just think life should be fun, man.
Me too, Alan.
Yeah, because when I was the worst thing about this whole pandemic is I was walking around in a grocery store once. It was aisle 6, and I was trying to pick out a can of corn, and I was like, I wish my face was showing for freedom.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I had a girl the other day, a woman came up to me at a store and started to give me a mask. And I said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I'm checking out. I chose self-checkout. I'm not wearing a mask. She goes, this is how we have conversations. I said, ma'am, I don't talk to people. I don't want to talk to you. I mean, what the heck's going on? So, you know, the first thing about the scamdemic is I don't accept it. I refuse to. And I go to enough places where, you know, like I was somewhere and somebody did something else to me. And the manager, I'll just say the name of the store, Nordstrom's, come running up and she was like, "Blah, Mr. So-and-so, are you okay?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." I said, "But this person is you know, making faces at me or something." And it could have been because I had my dog with me and she was all dressed up in matching clothes. But, you know, I just don't go. But anyway, we were talking about maps, you guys. I still
Yeah, maps, mask. Not mask. I'm sorry. You called about maps. I thought you said mask. I'm sorry. You meant maps.
I called about the map.
Horvath said maps, and then I
yeah, tried, yeah. Bart doesn't believe me, Alan, that people used to use maps back in the day.
I still use them now.
Exactly.
I don't rely on the thing that talks to me.
Yeah.
First of all, this is my wife's phone. I don't carry a phone. I don't drive around in the cars that have all that computer stuff. It's nobody's business what we do.
Right.
And, you know, Joe Biden ain't going to tell me nothing. He didn't give me no, I didn't get the check. I've been retired. Somehow I didn't even qualify, which I wouldn't have took. Last time we cut one in half, my wife got one.
Yeah.
Cut it in half and sent it back. But I don't even get a thank you from Joe Biden.
So
I've done, you know, and other things I do.
Hey, let me cut in and ask you something real quick. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the call you made.
You got a check and you cut it in half?
Oh, yeah, the stimulus check. We didn't want that crap.
God. I would have taken
Why?
It.
Why? Then you could have had it. I wouldn't get it. That's not. What is $1,000 going to do for me?
Bart, Alan, Bart's the kind of guy that asks for handouts, man. He's the kind of guy that takes days off.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. Bart takes.
He's not a good red-blooded American like guys like you and I, Alan. We've never taken a day off.
You know what? I'm going to tell you a good story about
I played game six of the finals with the flu. Sorry.
Let me tell you something. I didn't compete in sports. I was like in the spelling bees and stuff.
Yeah.
But I got into martial arts and I did some, I used to do competitions when I was younger.
Yeah.
My daddy was an extremely, extremely scary guy.
I would have never guessed.
No, I mean, if you met him, you would know. He was in the South Pacific and owned businesses the whole nine yards. But my mother was a very dainty, beautiful woman, and she would never raise her voice. But mom and dad would always dress, you know what I'm saying? My daddy always wore a suit no matter what.
Yeah.
But when he'd get mad, though, somebody, and what they didn't understand about daddy, and my mother'd have to say, she'd say, "Earl," and my daddy would take off the, as soon as he took off his tie, it was on.
Yeah.
And I remember once we had a place up north, but we still do, but, you know, we used to drive up there, and somebody tossed a pup, this is all true, somebody tossed a pup out the window. We started screaming, and, you know, we're just little kids. And his car kept driving, and you see my daddy's knuckles on the wheel. Just, and my mother was like, "Earl, no!" And my daddy just followed this guy, right? I mean, literally followed this blank. We got to a gas station, and I will never forget what happened. My daddy got out of the car, and this man did not have a clue what was going on. And when daddy left him, it was a great moment to be a young man. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
He left that man a smoking mess.
Jeez.
And that's the pop I grew up with. Like my wife will tell me, she goes, "I'm never afraid when I'm with you," and I'm like, "I ain't you." And she met my daddy the first time. She said, "I've never been scared of anywhere in my life." She said,
"How in God's green earth does someone like you listen to someone like me?"
Because I love your show. I can't stand Jay Weber. He's just he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, what about Clay?
You guys are on in the morning. You're fantastic. You're hilarious.
You're the man, Alan.
You're not just about sports. You're about entertainment.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we like the stuff, too.
Yeah.
Stuff's important.
Wrestling, sports, yeah. Entertainment.
Yeah. So, wait, what does that have to do with martial arts, though?
I still do. I practice. It's called, Okinawan style, Shorei Ryu.
You know, me and you, Alan, are actually a lot more alike, I think, than people realize, because we have similar backgrounds. I was also in karate tournaments as a kid. Funny story, my mom, Lucille, we actually moved, people don't know this about me, from New Jersey to Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And our handyman was kind, he was humble, he was an immigrant named Mr. Miyagi. And
I'm going to tell you, you know who I studied with for real?
Cut him off. That's a good story. I would have totally watched it.
I didn't even get into the part about the Cobra Kai yet.
If this was a movie, I'd totally watch it.
I studied with a man named Reverend Foster. Google him sometime. He was the first Occidental to teach the style he did in the United States and down in Kenosha, Wisconsin. A lot of guys that I studied with all teach now. They have their own dojos and such.
So anyway, I befriend this girl. Her name was, Allie. Last name was Mills. She was a high school cheerleader. It drew the attention of her arrogant ex-boyfriend. Guy's name was Johnny Lawrence. real you-know-what, Alan. He was a black belt, top student from the Cobra Kai dojo. Uh-huh. He studied a vicious form of karate. Him and the Cobra Kai gang, they were bullying me one night on Halloween. I sprayed some water on Johnny with a hose. Him and his... Yeah, I'll tell the story later on.
Yeah, well, belts are down. You know, belts are overrated, my friend. That's the first thing we learned.
True, true.
They're overrated.
Do you remember your Kai?
Your forms don't matter in a fight, you know that?
Yeah.
And the first thing we learned in boot camp, too, was in bayonet drill, you just go right at the guy.
So do you think that the who's going to defend Kevin Durant in the
I don't watch basketball because I'm not woke.
Alan, one time I got in a fight, and for some reason the dude, like, it was like, you know, a fight's anything goes. This is actually a true story. And for some reason, it's like the first time I'm ever in a fight, and the guy goes to take off his shirt. So you know what I did? I waited, and as soon as that thing was over his head, I popped him right in the face, and it was over.
Well, that's all you're doing.
Yeah. Like, what is the guy doing?
A guy called my wife a blank. We live in a sketchy area. 3 a.m, and he called my wife. I was trying to get a thing at the Hindu marathon, get some gas. So the guy pulls in, and he wanted me to back up, and I'm not backing up. So we had a few adult beverages.
Right.
And this guy told me this. He told me, old man, blah, blah, blah. And I told him, hey, man, shut the blank up. You know, you know, so my wife said to him, she said, hey, you know, my husband's going to hurt you. So one thing like this, I dislocated this clown's elbows. This yahoo called the police on me.
Alan, I got to get to a break, unfortunately.
Alan, anyway, have a good weekend, bud.
They tried to charge me with a hate crime, dude, for real.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Alan, Jesus.
Have a good one. Thank you for calling. Alan, ladies and gentlemen. Version of the home game will be sent to your front door.
You know what's wild is that Alan, on Stern's show, Hank and all those guys, were they all like bits? Like they were characters, right?
I don't know.
Like Beetlejuice, RIP.
I get mad when people like Alan call in because I get mad at myself for not coming up with this kind of content.
For like not having an Alan that you just made up?
Yeah, like I think that some of the people that call in, like I should be clever enough to have made that up, but that was a real guy.
You know, the funny thing is that Alan, I just spoke to Alan longer than I've talked to my father in the last month. And I realized that's a problem. And maybe it's time for me to kind of
Alan would say his daddy.
Yeah. My pops. Mm-hmm. Like Alan's pops though. See, my dad, it wasn't the tie. When my dad got mad, he would just give this look and I just knew it was over. Everybody's dad has that look. But Alan uses maps still. He doesn't trust Siri. You know, Siri works for the government. Mm-hmm. He didn't get vaccinated because obviously they put a chip in your brain like Johnny Mnemonic or Mnemonic, whatever that movie was with Keanu. Oh, lots to unpack there. We learned a lot about Alan today. He was in karate tournaments as a child. His dad, I think he told us that his dad murdered somebody at a gas station. Is that?
If not murder, pretty close.
Yeah, like... Oh, imagine just, hey, son, you want to go to the ball game? Yeah, sure, dad. And then all of a sudden somebody cuts him off and he's like, hey, we got to make a pit stop. And your dad just beats a man with his bare hands. I don't know how I would deal with that.
Asante came to TurboTax after graduating from culinary school and landing a job in the hottest kitchen in town.
My hands are full all day, every day. I love it.
Asante, as your TurboTax expert, I'll make your moves count, guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and your maximum refund. Sound good?
Yes, expert!
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.